Good morning and welcome to another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine. Earth Month kicks off tomorrow, and I am super excited to have Jen join me this morning via phone. She is going to talk to us about all the different things that we can do right here in St. Louis to help with Earth Month. First of all, Jen, good morning and how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Jill.
All right. So let's go ahead and start off Earth Month with the recycling extravaganza on April 7th and talk about that, because we have that. And then it concludes with the 30th anniversary of the St. Louis Earth Day Festival, April 27th through the 28th. So we have lots of stuff happening in between as well. And let's let the community know what they can do.
Absolutely. So we've been holding the recycling extravaganza for about 10 years now. And we used to try to do it simultaneously with the Earth Day Festival, but we found that it was really difficult to manage both events well. So a few years ago, we moved recycling extravaganza to the beginning of April. And it just made sense to kind of get people to start thinking about their impact on the planet and what they can do, and lead them up to the events at the end of the month. So this year, Recycling Extravaganza is Sunday, April 7th, like you said. The times are from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we're holding it at St. Louis Community College in Forest Park, in those parking lots on the backside off of Wise Avenue.
Okay.
And what this event is basically a convening of collectors. So there'll be people there who will be collecting your items, and it won't be St. Louis, or it won't be Earth Day 365, and it won't be the community college, but it's all these other businesses and nonprofits who are going to take those materials and either repurpose them or recycle them into something new.
What's really interesting to me, and I have the list, I want to go through what people can bring, because I wouldn't think to bring some of these things. And one of the things that I want to talk about, because I have so many unused prescription drugs, just because whether it was just time, I mean, you'd be completely open and frank here, I'm not using birth control pills anymore, because when I had my baby just a few months ago, it was a C-section, and we just went ahead and tied my tubes. So I don't need those pills, but I know you're not just supposed to throw them away. So I have them sitting in a bag, and I'm like, what do I do with them? Because I will tell you this, most people think that you can take them to your local pharmacy, and that's not true. And then your pharmacy may say, oh, your local police station can. Well, some do, but not all of them do. So it's like, what do you do with it? This is a place that you can drop those off. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So we have people from the St. Louis College of Pharmacy, together with actual people from the DEA, and the police will be there to monitor the whole situation. But the last thing you should do with leftover prescription medicine is, like, flush it down the toilet,
right,
or anything like that, because then it dissolves and goes into the water stream, and that can affect the wildlife in the water. And some of that stuff can even miss all of the filters that water goes back through before it comes out the faucet again.
Wow.
So people should absolutely never flush it. What's going to happen is that they're going to ask you to dump it yourself into this pot or whatever, and they will be incinerated properly. But it's all under the supervision of the DEA. So it's a very safe thing to do, and it's also very safe to get medicine out of your medicine cabinets. With the opioid crisis,
yes,
right now, we don't want any extra medicine sitting around. My daughter had her wisdom teeth out the other day, and they insisted that we take the prescription. And I was just like, we're not going to use it. So that's one of the first things I'm going to be dumping in there.
And the other thing, just talking about babies, child car seats. And this is something interesting, too. Some people are going to hear this and go, duh. But some people, I mean, when I had my first daughter, I didn't know that car seats couldn't be reused as far as, let me say, resaling. Like, you don't go to a resale shop and bring in your car seat. They're not going to buy that back. It's not safe. And if your car has been in an accident and you have car seats. You're not supposed to have those car seats in there anymore. So this is another place that you can bring those car seats to.
Yeah, we've actually been looking for a collector for these for a number of years. And because it's very sensitive about a reuse market, we really had to find a recycle market. So our partners at St. Louis City Recycles are actually doing this themselves. They're collecting them all on the day of, because I know people don't like to throw that much bulk into the trash, and otherwise there really isn't anything to do with it. So they're going to collect them all, and then they actually disassemble them and recycle the different parts.
Wow. I mean, yeah. That's a lot there, too. I mean, and that's the thing I thought about. I'm like, I don't want to just put this out for bulk pickup, because somebody may not realize that you shouldn't reuse that. And if they wanted to pick it up, I just don't want that to happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Some other things that will be on site as far as recycling: electronics, gently used shoes, shredding. We're doing up to 5 boxes per car, and then CFL bulbs. What else did I not cover that people can bring?
Well, I think I want to speak to the electronics quickly, because anything with a cord can be recycled, or at least parts of it can. But there are some items that actually cost money to recycle. Those are called negative value items, meaning the profits that the recyclers get from the materials that they harvest don't cover the cost of actually harvesting the materials. So, for instance, like old TVs and, anything with Freon in it, there is a small charge associated with recycling. I hope that doesn't discourage anyone from recycling it, because the alternative would be to just dump it in the landfill, and that's really not a good idea.
People are doing their spring cleaning right now. This is the perfect opportunity to get all those things and then bring them on Sunday, April 7th, for the Recycling Extravaganza. Tell us again the times and where to go.
Sure. It's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and I must note that at 2 p.m., all of these collectors are pulling out of the lot. So
okay.
If you try to slip in right at the end, chances are you're going to miss it. So please don't wait till 2 p.m. to come over. It's at St. Louis Community College at the Forest Park campus, and you will enter heading west off of Wise Avenue. That kind of butts up to Macklin Avenue.
Okay. So then we're going to go, do you want to talk about the in-between stuff, or just talk about that after the Earth Day Festival?
Well, why don't I just go ahead and put a plug in for the St. Louis Earth Day film series.
Okay.
This is something that we started last year, and we partner with a lot of different groups around town. Basically, anyone who would like to host a screening of an environmentally themed film. So we have universities, religious groups, environmental groups, screening films across town. Right now we've got 8 of them on the calendar, and that number usually continues to grow as we get into the month, where someone was like, I'm going to show a movie too. But all of the movies can be found on our website, so that you can see when and where and what movies. And
gotcha.
These are free and open to the public.
And what is the website?
It's earthday-365.org.
Now let's go to the big festival, the 30th anniversary St. Louis Earth Day Festival. It is happening Saturday and Sunday, April 27th and 28th. Let's go through all the details. Don't leave anything out, Jen.
Okay. Well, we're really excited because this is our 30th anniversary. Now, we started as a group of, let's just call them a group of hippies, putting on the actually the second Earth Day Festival in St. Louis. The first one was in 1970, but then they skipped several years.
Clearly.
Yeah. So back in 1989 was the first of all the 30 consecutive festivals, and it's moved around from Forest Park to Chain of Rock Bridge to Creve Coeur Park to Tower Grove Park. But we've been in Forest Park on the Muni grounds for quite a few years now.
And let's talk about what can be found there. What will people see?
It's everything. So the thing about the festival is we give you many reasons to attend. If you want to hear local music, if you like to eat good food, not your typical like fair and festival food, but really good, thoughtful food. if you like to learn about new environmental products, or if you want to connect with groups doing things in the environmental world, the festival is a convening, and there are at least 200 to 220 different booths and exhibitors there. People come for a good time, or they come to entertain their kids. I used to do that when mine were little. But people leave having learned something, having connected with somebody, and really feeling optimistic about the changes they can make in their own lives to help the planet.
When you say that people come away with something that they've learned from the Earth Day Festival, that's kind of what I want to ask you about as far as St. Louis. And do you think we are where we should be as far as our city goes in taking care of our planet? What do we need to do here in the city to do more and maybe even educate ourselves?
So I think the city and in the county, government-wise, are doing a good job of taking little steps in prioritizing environmental issues. But honestly, what it comes down to is the behaviors of the people living and growing in the city. And, I talk to a lot of groups. I love it when, I love the teenager group because they're usually very idealistic and optimistic. And what I say to them is to allow themselves to be temporarily inconvenienced, because if over time it will no longer be an inconvenience and you will have done something. And what I'm speaking of is, carry a water bottle with you everywhere you go. Don't allow yourself to buy a single serve plastic bottle. There's no reason to buy a plastic bottle of water. Always take your bags to the grocery store. And if you forget them, go back out to the car and get them. Because while it's inconvenient, you'll stop forgetting them over time. Use public transportation or your bike. If you're just going down the street for some milk or whatever, don't jump in your car. There's so many opportunities to do little things, but I think that our natural instinct is always to just do the fastest and easiest thing. If you're out and about, and you have something that you need to recycle but don't see a recycling bin, take it home with you so that you can recycle it. Don't just be satisfied with the trash can. It's just all those little habits that if the people of St. Louis start to demand better, start to demand that people stop using styrofoam or offering food in styrofoam, start to demand that they have an option to recycle when they're out, at restaurants or out on the street, the little things will change.
Okay, let's talk about maybe some people, I don't want to say we'll disagree or it'll cause an argument, but some people will say, okay, what is this really going to do? And I'm wondering, Jen, if you can kind of break down, hey, if we continue on this path, this is what's going to happen. But if we do this, this is what's going to happen.
So this is kind of hard for me, Jill, because at Earth Day 365, we try to meet people where they are, and we don't shame people either for what they do. We want to encourage people to do better, give them the information they need to make those decisions, and celebrate when things improve. So that said, we really want to encourage people to just look at their habits. I can't tell you definitively that if we stop drinking water out of plastic bottles, we're going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by, hundreds of tons. I don't know that for sure.
Right.
But I do know that there are studies out there that demonstrate by eliminating what they call your carbon footprint, the amount that you put out there cumulatively across a whole city, we can reduce greenhouse gases and climate change.
I will tell you that one thing that I was guilty of, I did the bottled water every day, maybe multiple times a day. And I didn't necessarily think about the planet when it came to the decision of not doing it. Honestly, it started with a money decision. Like, why am I wasting all my money on bottled water when I can just bring one cup and keep filling it? And then you start to learn a little bit more. And I think it does take somebody like you, Jen, and somebody like, or something like this festival for people to see the actual impact. People want to see what the results are. They want to see why them doing this will lead to this.
Absolutely. I heard a statistic recently that it takes 10 gallons of water, or the equivalent thereof, to make one bottle of water.
What?
If you factor in the production cost of the bottle, the transportation of the raw materials, you know, all the things involved just for your one little bottle of water.
And, you know, getting rid of the bottled water is probably one of the easiest things I think people can do.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the easiest. I mean, it's just such a habit, and that is easy to break. I mean, I probably have bought a bottle of water here and there, like if I'm out and I forgot a cup for some reason, but I have not bought a case of bottled water from the grocery store in I don't know how long. I mean, it's been at least a couple of years.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like I'm saying, it can be such an easy thing to do, and it could be so habitual. But then, like you said, you get inconvenienced for just a little bit that you turn it into, all right, it's not even an inconvenience at all.
Absolutely. And it's really great because at the festival, there are a lot of different companies and vendors and, you know, and they all have little giveaways. But a lot of the giveaways are reusable shopping bags and water bottles, you know, things that reinforce the message we're trying to get out there to people. We're making it easy for them to make that habit. And nobody can even buy a bottle of water at our festival.
Well, I wouldn't think you would be able to. That's a great thing right there.
We have, I think, a half a dozen water stations where you can fill up your bottle all around the festival grounds.
So let's talk about the festival with the sustainability. I know that there's some cool stuff with that.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to really analyze the way that we do festival. Because, I mean, if you look at the calendar for the St. Louis region, there is a festival every single weekend, you know, across St. Louis. And so we try to look at that and make ours the least impactful on the environment. We have a kind of leave no trace philosophy, but we go above and beyond that. So, for instance, every food vendor that'll be, you know, selling food at the festival, they are required by us to serve all of their food in compostable containers. So, like, you know, plates, or if they use forks or napkins or anything, it all must be compostable. And what we'll do is we'll take that stuff along with any leftover food and send them to Total Organics Recycling, which turns that into compost.
Nice.
The paper that we print our programs on is Forest Stewardship Council certified post-consumer recycled paper. You know, we don't want to use any virgin materials, but we think that the program's pretty, pretty important to give people information about the festival. Any drink container that you will get at the festival won't be water bottles, but there are a few other things, will be recycled, and we'll you know, make sure that that stays out of the waste stream. In fact, last year, 91% of all the waste generated at our festival was able to be composted or recycled. There were just 9% that we couldn't.
Wow.
And that was usually what people brought in with them, you know, diapers and, you know, things like that we can't really control. All of the restaurants that are part of the festival are members of the Green Dining Alliance, which is one of our year-round programs. And those member restaurants have banned the use of styrofoam. They use energy-efficient, you know, lighting and appliances. They try to source their food locally. They all are supposed to have either a vegetarian or vegan option at the festival, too. We obviously need a little bit of electricity for some of our booths, especially the food booths. And we have a great partner in Green to Go, because they have these generators that operate on propane, which is emits 75% less emissions than a regular diesel generator, and they're much quieter too. And then lastly, we encourage people to take the Earth Day Challenge, and we give people prizes if they do. And what the Earth Day Challenge is, to bring their own bottle and bag with them, you know, to collect their goodies and drink their water, to use low-impact transportation, so either Metrolink, Metro Bus, bicycle, we have free bike valet.
Nice.
Or walking. And then the last third part of the challenge is to eat or try new vegetarian or vegan option, a non-meat option while you're there. And we have a whole prize table. People can come and say, I took the challenge, you know. Another cool thing that we have is back at the community college at Forest Park, people can park over there. And the airport, St. Louis Lambert Airport, has always loans us their clean-burning compressed natural gas fuel buses. And they'll shuttle people back and forth so that they don't have to sit in traffic around the park, because it does get kind of crowded.
Right. The other thing that I love animals. Let's talk a little bit about pets and also down on the farm.
Yeah, so we've got a pet section of the festival that started about 4 years ago. In my off time from saving the planet, I'm trying to save all the animals.
And
so I wanted to bring that part of that into the festival, too. So we have about a dozen local rescue groups or rescue-related groups that have booths there. Some of them bring adoptable pets. Some are just there to create awareness about what they're doing. But that's a really cool thing. And then down on the farm, we used to try to do a farmer's market, but it became more and more obvious that April is not really good time for local farmers. They're just planting, and it was kind of a dull area. And so we partnered with Earth Dance Organic Farms in Ferguson, and they put on classes every hour in this down on the farm area for people who want to learn about urban farming. And that is, on the backdrop of that are a bunch of farm-related booths. You know, maybe someone who makes honey or grows their own ingredients and makes, you know, beeswax soap or, you know, but a bunch of different sorts of kind of makers are in that area. And there's always, you know, little things to pet and cuddle, too. I don't know the whole range of animals that'll be there this year, but it's always pretty fun. We had a runaway alpaca at the end of the festival last year.
Sure that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then you can bring your dog as long as you have a leash, and that's not an issue at all.
Not at all. I'd say at least one in four humans is accompanied by a dog at the festival. They're everywhere, and it's so fun to see them all. Some people even dress up their dogs.
Oh, that's always adorable. Let's talk about the beer garden, because there are some great beers on hand, and you know they're special too to the Earth Day Festival.
Absolutely. So the Green Dining Alliance, which I mentioned earlier with the food vendors, also has several beer or breweries as part of the Green Dining Alliance. And so this year, Perennial, Schlafly, Four Hands, and Urban Chestnut will all be at the festival. Having their own booth selling beer, obviously. But then we also have this great partnership with STL Beer, and they'll be setting up a beer garden right near the Earth Day Cafe, and we'll be pouring the beers of those four breweries on draft, and people can even buy a souvenir Earth Day 365 double-walled insulated pint glass.
Awesome.
Yes, and get discounted refills for beer in that glass. And there'll be a couple throughout the month of May after the festival. The breweries will be offering specials if people bring those glasses back into the breweries.
There's going to be live local music on the main stage. There's going to be free yoga all day, every hour from Yoga Buzz. And yep. Let's talk about a few other things that maybe I didn't mention that the listener would want to know about the Earth Day Festival.
Sure. It's interesting every year when I start talking with sponsors. They want to know, well, what kind of people come to the festival and what are their ages, you know, all the demographics. And quite honestly, Jill, we get so many different people at the festival, all different races, ages, genders, identities. Everybody is there. So it's family friendly and everybody friendly. And there is a whole section we call the Youth Corner where there are a lot of hands-on activities for kids. But it's also pretty interesting for adults, too. And outside of the Youth Corner, many of our other exhibitors have adults or any age demonstrations for people to tell them about different aspects of the environment.
I want to bring up something that isn't necessarily related to the festival itself, but part of the whole recycling and reusing. So something that people may not think about, just these little things that they can do to help recycle and to help reuse. And one of the things that came across my mind, I got this email from my daughter's daycare. They're doing this thing in a couple weeks. And one thing that they're doing, they're making these different crafts, but they were big on saying we're going to use recycled materials, we're going to use things from nature, and they're starting to teach the kids this at a young age. And even at your house, I know there are times where I'm like, oh, what can I do to entertain the girls? Because I've got nothing. And, you know, just little things around your house that can be used to end up being a toy or something along those lines that were just also making it more than just trash. And that's where I think people need to understand too. Like you said, you're not there to shame people. You're there to help people along the way. Just little steps really do make a difference.
Oh, so much. We actually have the opportunity every year to put a display at St. Louis Lambert Airport in the baggage claim. And we just installed it yesterday. And it was so cool because for the 30 years, we had a lot of symbolism of 30 in there. And one of them was done by an art teacher at one of the St. Louis public schools. And she created or recreated basically one of the birthday cakes that were around St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, only it was for Earth Day this time. But everything that it's made out of is recycled material. Even the candles, she used toilet paper rolls and then put the caps from those applesauce packets on as the little flame on top.
Got it.
I mean,
yes.
She thought of everything, but she does such a good job of engaging her students in thinking abstractly about the materials in front of them.
Love
you
it.
You know, you don't have to run to the art store every time you want to create something.
I love that so much. I know I need to be better at it. I'm going to definitely try, and just talking to you inspires me to do that. The Recycling Extravaganza, Sunday, April 7th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. 30th Anniversary St. Louis Earth Day Festival, Saturday and Sunday, April 27th and 28th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then in between, Earth Day Film Series. Go ahead and give the website one more time so people know where to go to get more information.
Sure. It's earthday-365.org.
And Jen, any last-minute thoughts you want to get out there before I let you go and enjoy the rest of your day?
Well, I just want to let everybody know that the festival is rain or shine, and we've had rainy days and we've had sunny days, and they're equally fun. So I encourage everyone to come out and don't let the weather get in your way, although we're going to have good weather this year.
Oh, my gosh. We're sending the positive vibes right now.
You bet.
It's going to happen. Well, thank you again, Jen, and I wish you nothing but a huge success for both events and for the entire month.
Thanks so much, Jill.
Have a great rest of your day, and thank you for joining me for another edition of St. Louis Voices.